Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
3 days journey to the sacred place. A boy and a man with a sorrowful face, tortured yet faithful to God's command to take the life of his son with his own hand. God will provide a lamb. He was offered up in your place, a sacrifice so spotless and clean to take all our sin away. You know this is the story of Abraham. Father Abraham was called to take his only son and to go sacrifice him, which is, of course, completely against the commands of God. But God had told Abraham to do it, foreshadowing what was going to happen, that Abraham actually was going to offer one of his sons. And he took him up on the mountain. And the son said, "Here's wood and fire. Where's the sacrifice?" The questioning voice and those innocent eyes. "Is the son of laughter that you've waited for, to die like a lamb to please the Lord? God will provide a lamb. He was offered up in your place, a sacrifice so spotless and clean to take all our sin away." He was going to do it. A gleaming knife, an accepted choice, but a rush of wind and an angel's voice, a ram in the thicket, caught by his horns, and a new age of trusting, the Lord is born. For God has provided a lamb, he was offered up in your place. What Abraham was asked to do, has done. He's offered his only son. What Abraham was asked to do, he has done. He's offered his only son. Blood. triumphant power, I'll tell how the victory he given over sin and death and hell. Yes, I'll sing of my Redeemer with his blood.
Galatians chapter 6. Well, we pray a lot here, don't we? You know, we're going to pray again and ask the Lord to bless the reading of the scriptures. Let's pray one more time. Lord, this is your word, and we are your people. Would you open us and our hearts to all of this? Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, verse 7. Galatians 6. We're going to read these three verses, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now let's get to the point. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. These last couple of weeks, we've been talking about what it is to serve other people, how important that is in the calling of the life of every Christian. And so we had a message a couple of weeks ago, and then last week we saw that great video of a man called Norman. Just about a man who loved his old neighbor who was mentally ill and helped him and was a blessing to him. It's a great story that we all love seeing. But you know, you can really get weary in this. And he tells us here, do not grow weary in doing good. It also says here, do not be deceived. And that just simply means to be led astray, to get off the path we're supposed to be on. The reason it says do not be deceived is because we can be, okay? And we can get our motives wrong, and we can respond wrong, and all of a sudden we lose this wonderful thing of serving and loving other people. You know, I remember it was our nephew Brandon. He's a sweet boy. I've told you about him before. By the way, great singer, great songwriter, nice kid. I remember the first time he brought his now wife, they're expecting their second child, Kimmy, home. One day Brandon brought her by. What were we doing, honey? We were at the house doing something, and the two of them just showed up. And you know, I kept saying to him, you know, I don't believe this girl exists. I've heard about her, but we haven't met her yet. I don't think she really exists. I think this is just, you know, you're photoshopping somebody into your Facebook page and all that stuff. And he finally brings her by. And she was precious, man. She is a wonderful girl. Loving, respectful, responsible, adores our nephew. I mean, all the right stuff. She is just a wonderful girl, but I got to tell you. So the first time my dad met her, the old guy, he was just starting into this disease he's dealing with, so he was still pretty much all together. And Kimmy and Brandon stopped by Grandpa's condo, and they sat and they talked and they laughed. And of course, you know, she wowed my dad because she's such a precious girl. And I'll never forget what he told Brandon as they were leaving. First of all, he doesn't call him Brandon. He calls him Hollywood, okay? Hey,
come here, Hollywood. Takes him in the side. And Kim was doing something. He goes, let me tell you something, Hollywood. You mess this up, and I'll kill you. Okay, that's what he said. And he took a word. And they have a wonderful life together, and we're just so proud of those kids. But, you know, don't mess this up. It's really interesting that we look at this simple little portion of the Bible and find out, how do I get the power to serve other people? I mean, we know we're supposed to. We realize that it's a calling on our lives. But there's a bunch of stuff that can derail us. So, let's look at the main reason why we get deceived. It says here in verse number 9, let us not become weary in doing good. The word weary just simply means to lose heart. Why is it we lose heart in the midst of serving our families, our friends, and our communities? Well, I'll tell you what it happens. It happens when we're not appreciated. We get weary when that all happens. And when things don't go the way we want them to go, and we don't get back what we wish we would get back, and it kind of all goes sideways. I remember my friend, gifted musician, another songwriter guy, tremendous guy, loves Jesus with his whole heart. But when he tried to do some stuff for some other people, they didn't respond the way that he wanted or expected. And he withdrew from serving the Lord for 35 years. And on his deathbed not long ago, he said to me, Tommy, I really messed this up. If I would have just done it for the Lord instead of the response I got from people, I'd have never had this problem. Do not become weary in well-doing. We become cynical because we're focused on them. But the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord, not humans. Pretty simple and straightforward. When we think we're going to get recognition or appreciation or love or acceptance because of what we do for other people. Now look, let's stop for a minute. We all need that. Okay, we all need to be appreciated. We all need to be loved. We all of us want to be accepted and all those things. But you know, sometimes it's not going to happen. So what you need to do, what we all need to do, is get our eyes off what they're doing. There's an interesting word. There's this word that God cannot be mocked. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You know what that means? It means to turn up the nose. Ever been anybody with their nose out of joint? I'm not doing it again. I tried, no one noticed. Ever see anybody that gets their nose out of joint? How about we get our nose out of joint? Our husband or our wife don't respond the way we wish they would. So what do? We give them the third degree. We give them all kinds of grief. What are you doing that stuff for? It all comes down to our motives. Why are we doing what we do? If we do it for the wrong reasons, and of course, we're always a mix of reasons why we do things, because we all have many needs. But if our main reasons come down to be, I just want them to notice and say so and appreciate me and do this for me because I did that for them. I remember a guy that cut me out of his life. He gave me a woodworking machine for which I profusely thanked him. It's gathering rust in my garage right now. I've been thinking about letting it go. But he gave it to me, and I remember that after he gave it to me, he expected more out of me. And he pretty much cut me out of his life. Pretty angry guy. Why do we do stuff that we do? Well, if we don't do it for the Lord, first and foremost, we are going to have a big problem. I talked to a young man many years ago. He was going to leave his wife. Their relationship had been real difficult. And he said he didn't have any more strength to be married to this woman. And he asked the Lord what to do. He said, Lord, I can't love her anymore. And you know what? The Lord doesn't speak to everybody all the time in our ear 24/7, okay? But there are some profound moments when you will hear the voice of God deep in your soul. He said, Lord, I can't love her anymore. And at that moment of despair, the Lord said to him, good, now love her for me. Isn't that a great statement? I'm telling you, our motives get all jacked out of shape. That's right. And so love her for me. Go with me, if you would, Hebrews chapter 12. Can you turn over there, please? I want you to see Jesus. You think Jesus got what he wanted out of us? I mean, holy cow. Think of the stuff. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He tells them about his upcoming crucifixion. You know what these guys start arguing? Who's going to be the greatest among them in the heaven? Okay. I mean, talk about depressing to have those knuckleheads as your friends. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now listen to this. The joy that was set before him. I'm convinced of something. The joy that was set before Jesus was doing what his Father told him. Jesus didn't come here because he loved you. He did. But he didn't come here because he loved you. It was the Father's love that sent his Son. Jesus came here in obedience to his Father's will to come and die for our sins and be resurrected from the dead. How was he treated? Terribly. Was he understood? Almost never. Then the apostles didn't hardly get it until after the resurrection when they received the Holy Spirit after Jesus' ascension into heaven. Man, he had to endure all kinds of stuff. But the joy set before him was doing it for the Lord. So it's time for us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the one who did all of this and did it so well. So we get off the path when we're doing it for the wrong reasons. We always got to be checking our motives, always, and do it for him. And then the way to stay on track, I love this, back in Galatians where we were. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. How do we stay on track? Well, we're doing it for him, right? I mean, I love you guys, but I'm doing this for him, okay? So we're doing it for a person. The person who called you, the Lord himself, who called you to serve the people around you and your family and your community. Do you know that he's everywhere present all the time? Not at all like having a video camera on your doorbell and somebody knocks on your door and you're in Boca Raton and on your iPhone, you tell them, go away. I'm not coming to the door. You know, I mean, that kind of like from a distance, like God sees all things. He does see all things, but he sees all things because he's present everywhere. He fills everything in all the earth. He's everywhere completely present. To me, that's pretty cool. So serve this person, the one who's ever present. We already know that he has all power and authority in the earth. If he tells you to do something, do it. He'll back you up. He's also the one who cannot lie. The Lord keeps his word. His faithfulness continues through all generations, the psalmist said. The Lord isn't two-faced. He doesn't say one thing and do another. His promises are absolutely true. You can trust him, and he's going to bring it about. Did you hear when President Lincoln was in office, you know, you think it was bad now. And in Washington, they were accusing him. He was in a debate and somebody said, you're two-faced. And he said, do you think if I was two-faced, I'd be using this face? I don't think so. Isn't that clever? I love that. The Lord is not. So you do it for this person. Hey, do it for this reason, too. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity to do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of faith. In the beginning, in verse 7, it says, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's so important that we see it. There's something coming. The Lord really does keep his promises. And if we do things because he said so, the Bible says that his blessing doesn't just come to our lives. The word is really interesting. Deuteronomy chapter 28 says that the blessings of God will overtake you. You can't even run away. The blessings of God will overtake you. How about Psalm 23? Surely goodness and mercy will, it says, follow. The literal translation is, surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all of my life. Listen to me. We're entering this holiday season, and we are called to serve. All of us. Every one of us. If we're going to have the power to do it, we got to do it for Him. And I'm telling you, if you'll do it for Him, your life will be more than you ever dreamed possible. I don't mean to tell you so many dying stories like I did today. I'm always talking about somebody dying, but I seem to be there all the time. I sat with my buddy 3 months ago. And this guy has done his best. He always talked to me about motives. He was always checking his motives. You know, he would talk over something where he was disappointed about something and say, you know what my problem is? My expectations. He always did that. I learned that from him. Oh, my expectations. I think everybody's going to pay attention to me, or I'm going to get what I want, or that's not there. I'm going to keep doing this for the... He kept doing it. He's laying, dying in his bed. He said, Tommy, remember how I always said you got to do this for the Lord? He said, I want you to know something. It was worth every bit. It will be for you too. Don't give up. Don't become weary and doing good. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on, stand up. Lord, here we all are. I ask for your blessing on everybody in this room, that you would take us and use us in the real world, not here behind these stained glass windows. Well, here too, but I mean, this is just a small part of it. Lord, we know our lives are lived with you out in the real world, surrounded by all different types of people. Help us. And I love something, Lord, about this. You don't tell us to try to go out and find stuff to do. It says, as we have opportunity, let us do good. You're the one that brings this all about. So we're going to walk into our lives today and tomorrow and through this week and through this whole Christmas season, just looking for the opportunities you're going to open for us. We're not going to force it. We're not going to feel desperate about it. We're just simply going to look for opportunities to serve and do that. Lord, thank you that we get to clean houses for each other. Thank you that we get to help each other fix stuff. Thank you that we get to listen to our neighbors when they're heartbroken. Thank you that we get to take food to sick people. Thank you that we get to give money to those in need. What a gift that you've given us. Help us not grow weary in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.